You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life, so tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
I want to ask you this question. What is your favorite childhood story? I'm talking the good stuff, right? Let's cast our minds back a little bit. Maybe for you, one of your favorite books, stories, movies is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Very poignant for Easter Sunday with all the eggs, isn't it? Maybe it's, I don't know, Peter Rabbit. Any Peter Rabbit fans out there? Old school, Wind in the Willows. Maybe it's James and the Giant Peach. Maybe I'm speaking to a certain generation out there. I love James and the Giant Peach. I've got a 2-year-old. And let me tell you, I am worried. Church, I am so worried that her favorite childhood story is going to be Bluey or Paw Patrol or Miss Rachel or even worse, Blippi. Please no. Please no. But one of my favorite stories is the Chronicles of Narnia. Any Narnia fans in the room today? Oh, I'm talking to my kind of people this morning. Narnia, this epic story of 4 siblings. You've got Peter, Susie, Lucy, Edmund, who go through the wardrobe into the magical land of Narnia, where good is fighting against evil. You've got allies like Mr. Tumnus, the Fawn, and then you've got bad guys like the White Witch. Everybody say, ooh. And you've got the kids on this journey, good fighting evil. You've got Aslan, the lion, coming in to save the day. And the kids are making decisions at different points in the journey. Some make great decisions, some make not so great decisions. But Lucy, she makes brilliant decisions, doesn't she? She's on the side of the good guys from the get-go. She loves Aslan. She tells the truth. She is virtuous. She is awesome. We love Lucy, don't we? Chronicles of Narnia fan, she's great. But Edmund, everybody say, ooh. Edmund. In that movie, you know where it starts, and he starts telling some porky pie, starts telling some lies. He sides with the White Witch. No, Edmund, how could you? He betrays his friends. Terrible, but then he has a redemption story, and we love those stories, don't we? But the kids are making lots of different decisions and choices on their journey, some great, some not so great. And all of us, like those kids, we've all had our own stories, our own upbringing, filled with choices that we've made or choices that have been made for us. And so we find ourselves in whatever stage of life we are right now as a product of the choices we have made or the choices that have been made for us. And the Bible talks about a choice. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, I now set before you death and life, blessings and curses, so now choose life. Then Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 7, he says this. He's talking about the choice of which road we follow and go down. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I want to suggest in 9 minutes, 55 seconds, if you smile and are with me, otherwise it'll be 90, I'm kidding. I want to suggest on this journey, this road, this motorway of life, we are all collectively in danger of cruising down the motorway of life, all heading in the same direction, but few of us stopping to ask if it's even the right destination. I want to suggest today, each one of us have to choose our own road. Turn to your neighbor and say, choose your own road. Choose your own road. And there's two choices, two roads that we get the choice on which one we're going to follow. The first one I want to talk about is the road called my way. Everybody say my way. My way. My way or the highway. Has anybody heard that from a parent before? when I was younger and I wanted to stay out later than when the streetlights came on. You know when you used to get a curfew when the streetlights came on? Come home when the streetlights come on. When I wanted to stay out longer than the streetlights, I would argue with my mom and she would tell me, she would say, Lee, it's my way or the highway. When I'd scream on a Saturday for a McDonald's, for my chicken nuggets and my Happy Meal, and I'd kick up a fuss, I'd argue with my mom. She'd tell me, Lee, you're not getting a McDonald's. It's my way or the highway. And Jesus describes this road, this broad and wide road that many people go on as the road of my way. It's my life. It's my family, it's my money, it's my job, my house, my career. Life is mine and I've only got one life, so I'm gonna do whatever I want on the road of my life. I want everything my way. In fact, in 2025, this is a picture of culture. Everybody, just do whatever makes you feel happy. Don't care about anybody else. Just do what makes you feel good. What's good for you is good for me. Just do your life your way and we'll be fine with that. And society projects all of these social norms on us of things that we should do to experience life. And we heard it from our stories already on the screens. People that have tried lots of different things in order to give them life, but everyone feeling empty at the end of it, the road of my way. In fact, when I was younger, I was 16, 17, I was on the road of my way. And the social norm that I dialed into, kind of like some of these stories, was I just lived for the weekend as a 17-year-old just to get drunk, to go out to party, and because that's what society told me to do at the weekend. So I'd work, I'd save all my money, I'd buy alcohol, I'd drink it, I'd party, I'd make bad decisions, I'd regret, I'd feel depressed. But then I'd just repeat the cycle all over again, because it's what society told me to do. And let's face it, what else was there to do? Nobody presented me with another option. And this is what the Bible says about my old life, the way I used to live. In Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1, saying, as for you, Lebron, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. Jump to verse 3. All of us also have lived like that at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Here the Bible talks about this wide road of my way. At the end, you find nothing but unfulfillment. You go through the journey of life and it fills you with all of these promises, which in reality become empty, because it doesn't matter how high the corporate ladder you climb, how much you progress in your career, the relationships that you find value in, the money in the bank balance, the status and the status quo of the way things are. All of these things on their own lead to self-destruction on the road of my way. But choose your own road. I'm thankful that there's a better way. Are you thankful that there's a better way? There's another road the Bible talks about that isn't the road of my way, but is the road of the highway. Everybody say highway. Highway. Love it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus is talking about this life that can be found in him, that's a narrow road at the end leads to everything we could ever have wanted or imagined in life. Maybe the highway isn't so bad after all. And here's what a prophet in the book of Isaiah says about the highway in chapter 35. He says, there will be a highway called the Holy Road. I love that. No one rude or rebellious is permitted on this road. It is for God's people exclusively. Impossible to get lost on this road. That's good news for me. Not even fools can get lost on it. Better news for me. No lions on this road. No dangerous wild animals. Nothing and no one dangerous or threatening. Only the redeemed will walk on it. The people God has ransomed will come back on this road. They'll sing as they make their way home to Zion. Unfading halos of joy encircles their heads. Welcomed home with gifts of joy and gladness as all sorrows and sighs scurry into the night. Jesus says this in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, says, I have come, says Jesus speaking, and hey, when Jesus speaks, we listen up, don't we? Says, I have come that they, that's you and I, might have life and life to the full. So this life that Jesus offers on this highway, this narrow road, he promises us life and life to the full. That's good news for us on Resurrection Sunday, that because Jesus died but rose again on Sunday and was witnessed by 500 people and has changed all of our lives on this platform and the videos we've watched, that's good news, because if Jesus is alive, then there's hope for me today that extends beyond today and into tomorrow. Life and life to the full. Hope beyond the bank balance. Joy beyond the circumstances of life lining up. Fulfillment beyond the career and being successful and doing what society would tell us we have to do to feel good. That's good news today. That's why it was a good Friday, because on Sunday he rose again. That's the whole point of the Easter message, that for you and I, there's hope of life and life to the full. An old philosopher says it like this, called Pascal. He says, there is a God-shaped vacuum, a God-shaped hole in the heart of each man and woman, which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. So we've all got a choice today about the road that we follow, don't we? You can go down the road of my way, searching, looking, trying to find life. Or you can go down the road of the highway that's narrow and costs a lot to get on. It costs us our life because Jesus gave his life for us. But at the end of it, we find life and life to the full. Here on earth, life in eternity to come in heaven. All through a relationship with Jesus. Well, how do we do that? The Bible says it like this in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10. Says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You might have had very little choice about your upbringing, very little choice about your childhood, very little choice about many of the factors that have taken place in your life to this moment. But right now, we've got a choice. All of us have a choice about which road we follow, the road of my way or the road of the highway. Can you imagine a life where you're not trying to find meaning through relationships and through the job and through society? Can you imagine living life where you wake up every day feeling a sense of purpose, not just on this planet, but beyond it, not just serving your agenda and your kingdom and your plans, but serving the man and the man's got a plan? Can you imagine living such a life where you could be secure in the most extreme circumstances because you weren't relying on your own strength, you were relying on the strength and the power and the breakthrough of the cross? The good news today is my Savior, you can't go to a place where he's buried. It's the only tourist site on the planet where you go to see what's not there. You show up to a tomb and the tomb is empty. Why? Oh, come on. Because Jesus is alive.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.